We celebrate today. What a thing to celebrate. Jesus came. He lived as a man. Sinless, perfect life. And he took the sins of each of us upon himself and paid the penalty, giving his life for us. And he was fully dead and buried, set in the tomb. But he's alive, and we celebrate it today. And I think of celebration. Just, there's lots of ways to celebrate. I remember, I actually can't remember the exact years. I know I was in Bible college in Toronto from 92, 93, and 94. I can't even remember which of those years. I'm pretty sure it was 92, 93. Some of you sports fans can, and I can get into a good sports game too, but the Blue Jays won the World Series for 2 years in a row while I was in Bible college in Toronto. I'll tell you, there was some excitement around that place. Zoom everybody up to the sixth floor lounge, or they brought the big screen TV down to the second floor lounge. Everybody piled in there, watching, and anything good happens with the Blue Jays, rah, there's a huge ruckus going on. There's ways to celebrate, right? But can you remember anybody who played on that team? I remember one, Joe Carter, had a big smack in that series. He became famous for it, but that's only a few years ago, right? Who's going to remember that in 2,000 years? Nobody. And it's not near as big a thing to celebrate. Yeah, it's a great achievement, and it's fun to be a part of, but it's just so short-lived. This, what Jesus did, rising, changed history. Has the power to take people, real live people that we know, and of which we are some, from death to life. He's made the way. He's the first of the resurrection, with many more to follow. All who are in relationship with Jesus, we celebrate. So there's the ruckus. I remember coming home the one night when that series was going on, and I'd been doing street ministry downtown Toronto, not because I'm super spiritual, just because that's what I did on Friday nights. And I remember coming home, and I was really excited about the one conversation I'd had with a gentleman over as I bought him some food and got to visit with him, and he's asking questions, and I'm excited about that. But as I enter the building, I'm entering on the ground floor. I can hear all this excitement about the game going on. And I was just kind of torn with that, with this, wow, these temporal, short-lived victories that we celebrate. And with the victory that was just had. He hadn't come to faith in Christ yet, but he was exploring spiritual things, wondering who God was. And I was just excited about that conversation. And I was just, wow, this is kind of weird, I thought, how, you know, just I'm quietly celebrating on my way home in the subway system, and here's this ruckus, a big crowd upstairs just yelling and screaming. Another way to celebrate. I think there's other ways to celebrate too. I mean, I journey with some people, and they're in a real battle of life, and it's over time, and it's a long, hard battle, and just side by side with them through this. You know, every step just seems to be a push to believe and not just give up and do something drastic to themselves or someone else. And they're walking and they're walking. But when the victory comes in their lives, it's almost so overwhelming. Yeah, sometimes we do. We cheer right in my office, wherever it is, or we're meeting together. But other times it's just overwhelming, and there's this overwhelming gratitude. Thank you to God, and it ends in tears. It's another way to celebrate, is with tears and with just a overwhelming gratitude. As we celebrate what Jesus did today, I think we can have the whole spectrum of celebration. We can sing loud, we can cheer it out, yeah, he is risen. Yeah, or we can say it pretty quietly. Because I caught you off guard, right? If you're ready for it, you would have cheered louder than me, even though I got the microphone. But there's ways to celebrate, and that's what we do. And it should be obvious, right? We celebrate birthdays. We celebrate our team's victories. Are we celebrating today? Really celebrating? I want to read John 20, 19 to 31. A little bit of a passage here. Those of you that were at the Good Friday service, we looked at John 19. But I'm going to carry it on further. So I'm going to read that whole passage. It won't come up on the screen. But if you have your Bibles here, John 20, verses 19 to the end of that chapter. On the evening of that first day of the week, this is Sunday evening, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them. So he's already been buried Friday. He's buried all day Saturday. He's risen Sunday morning. Empty tomb's been discovered. Women went out there to anoint him with spices and didn't find him there. Heard from the angel. They went and told the disciples. Some of the disciples already ran out there. They've already seen the empty tomb, but they don't get it really yet. They're hiding in there. They're fearful. And the risen Jesus comes and stands among them, and he says, "Peace be with you." They needed that. After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw. Some of them probably did cheer. Whoa! Some of them probably dropped on their faces in worship. They probably fell before him as dead men. But they were celebrating. They were overjoyed when they saw him. When they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, I do not forgive them." Now Thomas, called Didymus, was one of the 12. He was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." This is at least twice. He's already heard the empty tomb. Now he's hearing these other men saying, "We've seen the Lord." But Thomas said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." I think it's cool. It doesn't say that Thomas needed to stick his hand in there. He may have or he may not have. But he believed. He says, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written, all of the Gospel of John, he's saying, these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Lots of ways to celebrate. They were overjoyed. They celebrated. And yet they still had a long journey of discipleship, didn't they? But they received. Think of Jesus coming there. He says, "Peace be with you." This word peace is shalom. It's not a common word for us, not even in our language really until we started using it, but it's a sense of total well-being, that all things would be aligned properly or made right. It's a prosperity and a security associated with God's presence. We can take confidence in it, as his disciples did. God be with you. Peace be with you. I'll set all that is broken right. Wow. It's a peace and a tranquility. Whatever you face, peace be with you. It's a powerful blessing upon his disciples. They're all filled with fear of man. He says, remember who God is. I am the resurrection and the life. I'll set all things right. And he says it to Thomas because he was full of anxiety and turmoil and unbelief. He says, peace be with you. I'll set things right. And it's a process. We come and first we're made right with God, and we learn how to live out that rightness, live in the freedom that he's purchased for us. And so did the disciples go on that journey. I only have 2 points, as you see in the bulletin here this morning. There's receive. They need to receive that blessing. Receive that gift of peace be with you, his commanding and inviting word to them. Receive the presence and the power of the risen Lord. Receive it. And the second point I want to make this morning is believe. This whole story unfolding about Thomas not believing unless I can see for myself. And Jesus did honor that request. But he says, you believe because you've seen. Blessed are those who believe who do not see. We don't have the privilege of seeing the physical Jesus Christ today. If we're open to it, we can see the risen Christ, though. We can see and experience him. Believe. I want to reread verse 31. But these are written, this whole gospel, actually all the gospel, these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. So believe what? That he is the Christ. He's the promised Messiah. He's the one. The one, that he is the Christ. And by believing we would have life. Part of a larger story, Easter story. It's been going on for millennia, actually. I'm going to reiterate something I did on Christmas Eve, but I think it's key for today as well. This whole story unfolding. God creates all that exists thousands of years ago. There's creation, and it is good. In fact, the Bible says it's very good. It's just as it should be, in other words. But then Genesis 3 happens, and it's corrupted. We rebel against God. Scriptures say, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And we've all chosen to go our own way. So it's not just Adam and Eve, but their decision has consequences to today, where we have a sinfulness. We want to go our own way and not submit to his way, which is in line with how he created us. And so it's corrupted. There's created and it's corrupted. In fact, it's distorted really, really bad. And none of us can overcome that. But God steps in right from the beginning and makes a covenant. I will be faithful to my people. I will lead you in a way and make things right again. I will restart. I'll reset them. And he did a little bit through Noah, but it was just a picture of what was going to happen. He's done it other ways throughout history, right? They were redeemed, brought out of slavery into the promised land. Again, a picture of the bigger picture, but it's just a picture. He makes that covenant all throughout the Old Testament. He is faithful to his people. Keeps calling them back. I will restore. Prophesies. Then it moves on to the cradle. The fulfillment how he will really make things right in the fullness of it. And it comes in the form of a baby as Jesus is born that we celebrate at Christmas. And that baby is fully God and he's fully man. He lives a sinless, perfect life. Always surrendered to the Lord, his Father. And he walks sinlessly. And thus, when he goes to the cross, he can take the penalty that our sin and all humankind's sin has deserved. He can take it upon himself because he's the one sinless one. And he takes it upon him as the cross that we celebrate on Good Friday, and we celebrate it because then our sin is not counted against us anymore. We've got the snow outside this morning reminding us that our sins are washed as white as snow. Because what he did on the cross, he took that punishment. And he's the conquering king, as we've been celebrating this morning already. He overcomes sin and the power of death. And he's the coming king that's both been mentioned. We've heard this morning. He's coming again to really make things right, to fully set them right. But he's already done it. It's just the battles, skirmishes need to finish playing out. So is the creation corrupted? He is a faithful God to his covenant. He's restoring. It's been his plan from the beginning. He's restoring. He'll make things right. Bring peace. Shalom. Be restored. He comes in the form of a baby, a cradle. Goes to the cross. Conquers sin and death. He rises from the grave. And he's coming again. There's only one left, right? The coming again. But it's this conquering king that we celebrate this morning. Acts 16:31 says, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved." We can be in right relationship with God right now. We can be restored, made new. Romans 4:25 says, "He was handed over to die because of our sins, and he was raised to life to make us right with God." Let me ask, are you right with God this morning? Are you experiencing shalom? A right relationship with God. Internally, are you connected with your Creator, with our Creator? This brings us back again. Receive, believe, right back to receive again. Are we believing? Are we understanding who Jesus is? But it comes right circle again, right back to receive. See, because Scripture is also clear that we're held accountable to the truth that we know. And now we know He is the Creator. He was there. He witnessed the corruption of it, but he says, "I'll overcome that. I'll make things right again. I'm the one that paid the price," right? We've all, by our sin, earned death. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. And it's a gift. It's like coming before the judge and saying, yeah, I've lied. Yeah, I have hatred towards people. Yeah, I have envy. I'm guilty of all of this. Then the back door of the courtroom opens. And in comes the judge's son. He says, "I'll take that. I'll take that punishment. I'll take that, Dad. I haven't done any of those things. And I want to offer it to this person standing before the judge as a gift." But a gift needs to be received. He's already done it for us. He's already paid the price. But it needs to be received. You know, we need to really think about this. those on that flight over the mountains in France weren't expecting to meet their Creator face to face, the judge. But they are. Plane went down unexpectedly from their perspective. Accidents happen all the time, diseases all the time. Some of us get a warning and some of us don't. Are you in right relationship with God right now? Are you experiencing the life that He's purchased for you and for me? Abundant life, freedom. Do you believe who He is? Believe in a way that helps you take a step and say, I'm following Your way. I need Your forgiveness, and I surrender my all to You. You lead me. I'm not going my own way anymore. If you've already done that, if Jesus Christ is your Savior and Lord, the one who saves you, forgives all our sins, all of it, not a portion of, big or small portion, all of it, done, forgiven, freedom, life, and eternal life. Amen? If you've done that, what's our response today? Hopefully celebrate. Celebrate, whatever celebrate means for you, however that's hitting us right now. That incredible gratitude we feel, that exuberant wow, that yell it out however we celebrate. Celebrate today. What else? Share it, right? When our team wins the World Series, we usually walk around all sad the next week, right? We don't gloat with our co-workers who are cheering for another team, do we? We don't celebrate. We don't celebrate with a bunch of people that were also cheering our team on. Right? There's all sorts of ways to celebrate, but share it with all sorts of people. Wow, this amazing thing happened. We can celebrate God's bringing death to life in all sorts of ways in our lives, too. Right? It's not, yes, He's given us new life. And how we experience that new life day to day, week to week, we celebrate. Share that. Share. Wow, here's what God did. We just had our Burke family Easter up at my sister's place near Easter. My nephew, I believe he's 20, or going to be shortly, right there anyways, 19, 20. He bought a new vehicle, new to him anyways, Nissan Pathfinder, old model. And the other week when we had that wind and snow and whatever else, well, they had it worse up there. He slid into the ditch, but there it's a particularly steep ditch. And I heard him tell the story three times because we were there early, so he told it to us. He told it to some other guests, and then some other guests, and I overheard him tell it three times. Every single time he shared what God had done. He said, realistically, I should have rolled that vehicle, but God was watching over me. Cool, 20-year-old guy, 19, 20, sharing, here's what God did. I mean, sometimes He rescues us in the physical sense, right? He brings healing, whatever else, restoration of a relationship. Sometimes it's simply in the spiritual or in the spiritual realm was just as real as the physical. But we've got to share that and pray. And pray. Pray that God would reveal Himself, that more people would believe and receive His incredible gift. Pray to the Lord of the harvest that workers would go. As was already mentioned, we're all missionaries. If we're in relationship with God, wow, go testify, share. Let God do His work of bringing more. Because real people are going to spend eternity in hell separated from God. Unless we share and unless we pray that their eyes would be opened and that they could celebrate too, that they could be on this team, on God's team, and celebrate. Right now they have nothing to celebrate. There's no hope of their team winning the World Series. It's not an underdog thing. There is no hope. But there's incredible hope in Jesus. So we celebrate, we share, and we pray if we're in relationship with God. In fact, if you're in relationship with God and He's your Savior and Lord, would you just pray right now? I don't know that everybody here knows Him. Would you pray for people that are here this morning, other churches this morning, in our community? Would you pray right now? People right this day would come into right relationship with God, and they too could celebrate. As you're praying, I'm going to move on. I want to talk to those of you, wow, this is new, or wow, I'm hearing this again. I've got some real questions. I mean, I just outlined thousands and thousands of years from creation to His coming again, and you've got very real questions. Here's what I think God wants you to do today. Commit to reading this gospel, the Gospel of John in the Bible. It says, all these things are written that you, put your name in there, may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. He desperately wants to give you His gift. Will you receive it? And a journey towards that would be reading the Gospel of John and letting Him reveal Himself. In fact, pray for that. Anytime you read the Bible, for sure, as you're reading the Gospel of John here, if you're somebody here committing to do that, Lord, would you reveal the truth about yourself and the truth about me? As I read this book, as I read these chapters, reveal yourself to me. He's a living, risen Lord. And if you're here and you're just wondering, God, how can that be? That just sounds... it's okay. It's okay not to know yet. Read the Gospel of John. But ask God to reveal Himself, the truth about Himself, and the truth about you. Maybe you're here today, and you know for sure you're not in right relationship with God. Maybe you once were, but there's something hindering a full and free celebration. And He's revealing that to you. Something's out of line. Jesus said, I want to heal you in that area of life. I want to set it aright. Shalom, things as they're supposed to be. Will you offer that to Him this morning? Let Him do His work in you. Confess it, surrender it, whatever it is, as He reveals. Something's out of line, you know. Maybe it's even unclear. Ask Him, Lord, would you give me clarity on what this is? So I can confess it, so I can surrender it, give it to you, allow you to align it. Don't take it on yourself. Oh, this area, I need to get this in line. There's no gospel in that. That's religion. Jesus invites us to relationship. He's the risen Lord and Savior. But do surrender it. Do confess it. Do give it to God. And maybe you're here this morning and you know you haven't ever aligned with God. You're not a part of this celebration. You're watching a group over there and you're going, that's weird. But maybe His Spirit is talking to you right now and He goes, it's your time. Today is the accepted day. You understand who I am. I'm revealing you myself to you right now. And you have a growing awareness. Wow, this is God talking to me. He has. I actually believe that this is the Jesus talking to me who's risen on Easter that these people celebrate. But I've never received His gift. I'm still carrying the weight of my sins and I'm not forgiven yet. And I've never given Him my life, committing to walk in His ways, to allow Him to be the leader and Lord of my life. If you're here this morning, you need to personalize it. He created you, lovingly knit you together in your mother's womb. And He loves you more than you can understand. And yes, he's fully aware of the corruption, the fear and the failures and the sins and all the rest of it. He sees more of it than any one of us does, more than you see in your own life. He's fully aware of that. He's fully aware when he walks in that courtroom and says, "Put that punishment on me, Dad." He's fully aware of what the charges against you are. And he says, "I love this person. I love you. And I want to take that punishment. And the punishment is death. And I willingly," Jesus willingly takes your punishment and faces it on the cross. And he's fully dead and he's fully buried and he raises to life. And it's that risen Lord speaking to you right now saying, "I forgive you. I love you. Will you receive my gift? You can't earn it. Don't try. You never will. Will you receive it?" I want to ask everybody, close your eyes. And be with the Lord. Where are you today? Are you experiencing shalom, the power of the risen Lord in you? And celebrate and share. And right now, will you pray? Are you truly uncertain today and confused by this? You've got some questions paramount in your mind. Will you commit to read John? Will you commit to asking God to reveal himself? And will you talk to some others? How are you so certain that you know God? How did you first get to know him? Why do you believe today? How did that happen? You've got questions. If you've sincerely got questions, then commit to reading this book. Commit to asking God and commit to dialoguing with others. Some of those around you, you already know them. And if you're here today and you know you're out of step with God, then I want to speak to you for a moment. He's the God who forgives. He's the loving Father. In the story of the prodigal son, though the prodigal son disowned his dad by taking his inheritance early, disowned his family and took off and spent it unwisely, foolishly, harmfully. He spent his inheritance and ran away from home and brought great shame on the family. When he finally came to the end of himself, and he recognized, "Wow, my father's servants have it better than me. I'll just return home and may I please be your servant." But the Bible says in Luke 15 that the father sees the son while he's still far off and he runs to him and he hugs him and he hugs him. And no way will he treat him like a servant. He'd bring the best robe, the ring on his finger, "You're my son." And he wants to treat you as his son and his daughter this morning. Will you receive his forgiveness and his new life again? Aligning, let him align you again. Would you simply confess and surrender to the risen Lord? And finally, if you're here and you've never surrendered to God, but you're going, "Wow, just his spirit is inviting me right now," or "I've never done it publicly, and I want to be his son, his daughter. I want to know I am forgiven and free. I want the life that he's promised, not the one I'm trying to pursue. I want his life for me." These last two right now, I want to lead you in a prayer of confession and surrender. Just quietly pray in your minds. God is big. He can hear our thoughts. So if you're out of alignment, something's hindering the celebration, and you know it, Then let's pray. Lord Jesus, I feel unacceptable. I know that I'm not worthy of your forgiveness and your love, but I choose to believe that you are who you say you are, that you paid the penalty for my sin, and I want to receive your gift of forgiveness and surrender my life to you. Will you help me receive that gift, Jesus? And those of you who have maybe never committed your life to Jesus and said, I believe you, Jesus, you can simply pray, Jesus, you've given me understanding of who you are. And I understand right now that you took my penalty on the cross that I deserved. In fact, you want to give me forgiveness, free me from my guilt and my shame. So I confess the things I've done out of rebellion and going my own way. I confess them and I give them to you. And I give you my life. And I want to follow you. I want the abundant life, the eternal life, the promise of peace, the shalom, things made right in my life. First with you, and next with creation, and ultimately, perfectly, in heaven, the life to come. And I pray these things in your name, Jesus. Amen. Just keep your eyes closed for a little bit here as we end. If you prayed today something personally, you knew celebration was hindered, you're going, wow, I want to be able to celebrate, but I feel like I'm standing on the outside, maybe because you've never entered or because you've stepped away. If you prayed and you're sincere in your heart, then Jesus' words to you are, I love you. I forgive you. I died for you willingly, and I'm glad I did. I fully accept you as my son or my daughter. I love you. Let's walk together. And he does that perfectly. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, all things that are out of rightness. And he'll move us on the path of rightness, of being in right relationship with him. And we are this now become the celebrators. If you've prayed today, would you just put your hand up and let me know so that I can pray for you? Doesn't matter what age we are. Sometimes we're very old. Sometimes we're younger. Would you just slip your hand up and let me know? I want to pray with you and for you. Going to pray now, and then we're going to have a special number to close us off in celebration. May we enter celebration. Don't let anything hinder it. And for you who raised your hands, if you can connect me with me after the service, I'd really appreciate it, but also follow through on the things you committed to do. I would really appreciate that. That would be great. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Jesus. There's all sorts of ways to celebrate. With tears, with laughter, with shouts. Would we celebrate? Would we let nothing stand in the way of our celebrating your incredible victory? It's not our victory. It's yours, but we get to participate in it. And would you, like you did your disciples in this passage, unleash us the power of your Spirit, that we would tell your story, we would see more and more of your handiwork, your work of redemption, setting things right, bringing shalom to people's lives and hearts and minds, that we together would celebrate. And we thank you. We thank you, Jesus. We are filled with gratitude. We thank you in your powerful name, Jesus. Amen.